Hello and welcome back to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Leeds podcast, Discipleship in Challenging Times. This is our second day, reflecting on the story of the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. And the reading in just a moment is going to be from verse 17 to verse 31. We pause together and pray. Lord, thank you for your amazing and wonderful word. Thank you especially this morning that you, Lord Jesus, are our reward. Help us to see this clearly and help us to respond appropriately. Lord, you love us so much. Help us to return that love to you. Fill us with joy today as we read and reflect and we pray. Feed us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so for the second day, we read Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With people this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." I don't know if you know this prayer. "Lord, help me to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to labour and not to seek for rest, to ask for no reward save that of knowing that we do your will." In many ways, that's a really good prayer. It's a prayer of commitment, and it's that full-on commitment to Christ that I've been seeking to encourage. But there's something that I want to disagree with in that prayer. not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do your will. I want to argue that that is not biblical. Of course we are to labour. Of course we are to work for God, to give ourselves to him as his disciples, disciples of our wonderful Lord Jesus. But as Jesus teaches here, he clearly holds out reward as an incentive for those who will follow him. This rich young man is giving up his wealth, or he is asked to give up his wealth. But actually, if he had done that, he wouldn't have lost out, because the rewards of grace that Jesus promises are far greater, far more wonderful, far more lasting than earthly riches. Jesus promises reward now along with persecutions, and reward in the life to come. And so we are encouraged to think of Jesus as our reward and the wonderful things that he's giving to us. Just to be clear, this is not a theology that is sometimes called prosperity theology. We give our money to God and God somehow gives back more money to us. That is a perversion of the gospel. It's not true, and it traps people, sometimes giving money to rather dodgy people in the hope of getting something financial in return. That is a perversion of the gospel. It is anathema as far as the scriptures are concerned. But there is a proper biblical prosperity theology that says that as we give all to God, there are rewards of grace that far outweigh anything that we have given up. Think of this in respect of my own life. The thimbleful of willingness that I have given to God that has maybe meant that I don't own a home in the way that some other people do. I part own a small home, but the home that I live in is a tied house. It's linked with my job. And so in some ways you might say that I have given something up. But I know that I have many homes because of the gospel. Christian brothers and sisters who would welcome me, who have effectively said, our home is your home, and when you need to come and stay, you can. And I know that I have many Christian brothers, many Christian sisters. There are many mothers, many people who are older spiritual counselors who I have a rich relationship with. Yeah, I don't own any fields. I don't have great wealth. But the network of relationships, the web of relationships, the opportunities that God has given to me to travel and to teach and to share, these have been unexpected. These have come unbidden. But God has poured so many good things into my life. And of course, the ultimate reward is Jesus himself. It's knowing him. It's pressing on to know him more. It's marvelling at the multifaceted diamond that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, holding it up to the light, turning it, seeing a new angle, seeing something deeper, more wonderful, something that is dazzling. All of these are rewards for those of us who follow Jesus. In some ways, they're not rewards that other people would be interested in. But as God changes our hearts, changes our desires, he makes these rewards really attractive to us. And he calls us to pursue our God and to pursue Jesus. Jesus is our reward. We focus on that today. We focus on the good things that he gives to us. We thank him for his grace. We thank him for his love. We thank him for his reward. We pause and we pray together. Lord, we worship you that the gospel is in itself a wonderful reward. Thank you that you don't call us to grit our teeth and turn our collars into the wind when we follow you. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's bracing. But the reward is just extraordinary. We praise you. We worship you. We give you thanks. And we pray that these rewards of grace would be increasingly lovely to us. Change our hearts. Change our desires. Wean us off the junk food that sometimes we take in, and help us to eat the wholesome, healthy, life-giving food that is your word that leads us to you. And so, Lord, we praise you for the glory. We praise you for the wonder. We praise you for the magnificence of Jesus and his gospel and the rewards of grace. Help us to pursue these with all our hearts and souls, with all our mind and with all our strength. Help us to start right now. Strengthen us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.